Rarely do we have the opportunity on this podcast to talk about something and go, this is it.
This is the answer.
This is everything. But this is it, y'all.
Yeah.
This is absolutely it.
Welcome to the Eyes on Jesus podcast with Drew and Tim, two pastors discussing practical details about life, leadership, parenting, and being more centered around Jesus first. The goal of this show is to help you keep your eyes on Jesus through the busyness of life and clutter of your schedules. Now, join us for the conversation.
Hey, welcome to the Eyes on Jesus podcast with Drew and Tim. So thankful and excited that we get to talk about what we get to talk about today, and that is being devoted to the body of Christ, being devoted to your church. And Tim, you're a devoted guy. Right? It is a lot of work. Right? I can't do it. But you're devoted to reading the Word of God. You're devoted to social media, that's for sure, because you're all over the place there. Check him out if you haven't
against
already.
My will.
And you're devoted to your family, you're devoted to your church. You have so much in your life that you're devoted. Here's what I want to know for our listeners as we're trying to figure out why that's important. Is being devoted, like, should we strive for that? Why should we want someone to say something like that about us and the way we live life? As opposed to, can't we just ease our way into some things and we just be like a spectator? And especially with church, we don't really have to be devoted. We can just go. We could be an attendee. Talk about the differences there and why it's important for us to recognize the power of devotion.
You know, discipleship, different terms you want to use, because it's really about, for me, consistency and making sure that I'm not just living by my feelings. I'm not just waking up and saying, what do I want to do today? Let's do whatever feels good. I've just never been in that mentality, right? There's days I don't want to do things, of course, but when I look ahead at my life and where do I want to go? What do I want to be? What do I want said about me? Those are the things that drive me. And so I've always thought through things. If I were to do this, then what are the next logical five things that might happen. Mm-hmm. And that's why I talk about discernment now. It's why I have a ministry called Discerning Dad, because when I think through decision-making and how important it is to lead us up and set us up on a path of blessing for our life that God has for us, it takes those daily decisions, those opportunities to say no to things, as well as to say yes to things that are going to put us on that path. And so even growing up as a kid, if I do drugs, I know this is where it's going to lead. So even if it's tempting in the moment, and even if someone offers it to me and I want to seem cool in the moment, I know that potentially it could lead me down this path. I also know if I date this girl and we do things we're not supposed to, I could have a kid super early and that'll mess up my chance to go to college and all this stuff. So I was able to think through those decisions, and not that I never made a wrong decision. I'm just saying that I was able to think long-term on some of those things, which I think prevented a lot of things. And still to this day, when I think through that, I don't feel like this, but I know that I'm doing this. And so I'm going to be devoted to my family. I'm going to be devoted to my church, because these are the values I have for me and the values I want to have my kids see. And some of it's temperament, some of it is upbringing, some of it is your foundation in who you are, your identity. And all these are key things that are going to drive us, that are going to push us forward in different ways. And if you grow up in a chaotic household, if you grow up in a do what feels good in the moment type of atmosphere, you're going to live for yourself. You're going to make bad decisions and you're going to crash and burn, and you may or may not learn from them. And that's the big reason why with discernment, I just think back and I see the same mistakes that every generation has ever made. The same mistakes, just sometimes packaged a little differently.
Right.
And I'm just like, man, why can't we just learn from the past and not make those same mistakes? Just relationships alone. How many people make the horrible decisions? I love this person at age 18 and we're going to have kids, right? Not together for the next 5 years sometimes, right? Many times. Yep. If you make those early decisions just based on feelings, and I think I love them, and I don't even understand the concept of love yet. I don't even know what love is because I'm not even an adult and my brain's not
functioning. Yeah, don't even know me.
Oh my goodness. And so, all that to say, as Christians today, when we're talking about devotion in this episode and why it's important, is because the Bible says, don't be tossed by the wind. Don't be tossed like a wave in the ocean because, okay, now we're going to do this and now we're going to do that. That's exhausting. Being on the straight and narrow, as much as that might be hard some days, there's going to be a blessing because there's consistency there. And other people that are around you are going to know that you're a consistent person and they can trust you, as opposed to this. Now you're off on this thing. Now you're off on this tangent. Now you're depressed and in a mood. And a lot of that, I think we're going to go back to identity. Who you are in Christ is going to drive a lot of those devoted practices.
Wow.
That was a big opener.
I've never heard it. I've just never heard it explained quite like that. But you're right. It's really got me thinking and not just reacting to it, but really in deep thought. It is that important. And I thought you brought up a lot of good layers to it, not just the household you're brought up in, but also why it's important and when this shift can happen and when it happened for you. There's a lot of layers to it. Yeah. Devotion, what we're saying is, no matter where you come from, no matter what your background is, no matter what your experience is, being devoted to something is really important. And when you're devoted to Christ, being devoted to someone, when you're devoted to someone, then that filters through everything else that you do.
Right.
And I feel like we have this trend in our churches and in our religion and in our faith where we believe that being devoted means belief.
Right.
Being devoted is, I believe in God. Being devoted is, yes, I'm a Christian, and therefore I believe in God. And it's okay. Let's break that down. If we're really devoted to someone, like I'm devoted to my wife, you can see that lived out in my life. I wear a ring. I don't go hang out with other women. I don't go on dates. Well, why don't I go on dates with other women? Because I'm devoted to my wife. All right. Yeah. Now, if we were to take that same concept and say, I'm devoted to Jesus, not just believe in Jesus, I'm devoted to Jesus. Okay. We should see that play out and lived out in your life in every aspect, not just some aspects, in every aspect.
Yeah.
And this is something we're always growing in. We're always trying to get better at. This is something we'll never achieve in every aspect and finally have it perfect. But this is how Jesus grows us. This is how God plans our life out. Is it's all about progress, not perfection. Mm-hmm. So for me, this is still a test to figure out every way in my life I can be devoted. But I feel like in the church and in religious circles now, devotion just means belief, and there's not actionable evidence that shows that someone's devoted. Have you seen that as well? Do you see that trend following along in churches and it becoming harder and harder to get people involved and engaged?
Yeah, I just listened to a Carrie Newhoff podcast yesterday, actually, about church trends and church attendance. And without having the actual numbers in my mind, the overall theme of the episode was that there is a de-churching happening in America. And it has been happening, honestly, since the 90s, he said. Mm-hmm. So it's not just since COVID. There's a de-churching movement, and he factored it in different things. One of them was deconstruction, and the de-churching, he said, was not absence of faith in God. You just don't believe in the church institution, or you've had a bad experience and you don't have an actual church right now. Mm-hmm. Deconstruction is sometimes that, but it's also in the aspect of also hurt, or the church doesn't believe what I believe and certain, you know, calls out certain sins. And so I'm going to deconstruct from the things that I don't agree in my own mind, not the word of God. And I'm going to create sometimes my own religion, or sometimes back away from religion completely and deconstruct to a point where there's almost nothing left and there's nihilism, that nothing really matters. And right. So there's these varying trends going on, and also churches that are, quote, still churches and believe complete heresy and still have their cake and eat it too, if you will, progressive Christianity. And so you have all these movements which are newer in the church. There's always been various movements in the church and different heresies. But now what you see is the idea of church itself being almost a foreign concept. And they said, stuck out with me, is the de-churched, the children of the de-churched will not go to church.
100%. So
if you grew up in church and now you don't, your children will not go to church. And so that is almost an alarm for us today, is that we are in a generation that is teaching their kids all kinds of nonsense and garbage.
Oh, yeah.
They're not teaching them Jesus in many circles. And so what is going to happen to those kids in 20 years who are going to be politicians, who are going to run businesses and aspects of even the church they're going to be in? What's going to happen? And so I think there's a call for us, is we have to increase what we say and do and being the church. And if you're part of a church that is the body of Christ, that believes the word of God and is foundational upon it, like, that's a call to you listening right now to do something if you're not doing something,
right?
Because your church needs you. If you believe in it, if you believe in Jesus and you're just too busy or don't think you have the skills and abilities, like, those are all lies. You have the time, you have the skills and abilities through God, Spirit within you, to make a difference. And so that's where I think we are at right now as a church. And when we start seeing people who say, I don't need church, or what I see is very flaky attendance. Certain people that are just, man, once every month, is that really enough for you?
What are we doing?
It is coming a 1 hour out of an entire month, not knowing your personal walk with Christ, but I'm just, as part of the body of Christ, not serving, coming once a month. Is that really, the church Jesus died for? Is that the church that—
Tim, we're really busy, man. We got a lot going on.
We're so busy. Try telling that to the martyrs in China that are saying, I will die for this.
Yeah. Tell our listeners what you were telling me about the martyrs in China and the government and all that good stuff, because I think that's a really good point.
So we're in the book of James. My pastor, Nathan, he talked about this book from David Platt. Well, actually, David Platt talked about it. He didn't write the book. It's called Back to Jerusalem, Three Chinese House Church Leaders Share Their Stories. And the concept in here that David Platt was talking about was basically that these Christian pastors in China are saying that in China, the government does not care if you are a believer. They really don't care. It's when you become a disciple and actually start doing things that a disciple would do, when you start sharing your faith, when you start being generous, when you start stepping outside your little box of even the box in your head or the box in your home church, when you start actually doing things, that's when the government will persecute you and even kill you. And so these Christian pastors are saying, you cannot be a Christian here and just be in your head knowledge. There's a vast difference between the two. And what we allow in America today is that you can believe whatever you want. You can believe in Jesus. You can believe in all these things. As long as you make one confession of faith when you were 18, that covers you the rest of your life.
Yeah. Salvation prayer. Isn't that all that's needed?
What Bible verse is that in again?
Yeah. I think that's Numbers 6:18.
I think that's where we're going as a country, is that the government or whoever's in power does not want Christians to actually step up and do things, to say things, to combat the culture of today, to say, no, that's actually a sin. And I'll give you the Bible verses for it. The government and anybody in power would love Christians just to be, you stay in your church in those four walls. Let me not hear from you. Don't post on social media. Don't do all this stuff, or you'll be canceled, you'll be mocked and harassed. And I think that's where we're going, and we're definitely in parts of that right now.
It certainly seems that way. I agree. I think that's where we're headed. And I don't know that people care.
Or ready for it.
Or are ready for it. They're certainly not ready for it. We have to be devoted, and being devoted means that we are going to show in our actions and show in our language that we are affiliated and that we belong to the creator of the universe.
Yeah.
And right now we have a lot of people that say yes to that idea and say no to everything that idea then causes and represents.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. And so for me, I believe so much in being devoted and there being actionable evidence to that, that we actually at my church are all about participation. we don't talk about membership. Now, look, I'm not saying membership has no value. It has value and actually has even biblical value. So you can call me unbiblical if you want to, listeners. But we do participation. So when you come to the church, it's all about participating. We want you to participate. We want you to give. We want you to serve. We want you to be in a community of believers. We want you to be in a group of some kind. We want you to be in the Word of God daily. We want you to be praying for your church. We will be praying for you. But we're about participation. Yeah. And if you participate, you will be known. We will know you. We will care for you. We will support you. And we will do everything we can for you. If you just show up, like, that's it. That's your contribution. You show up and sit in a seat, and you're basically relying on me and the words God has given me for one day a week to somehow progress you in your faith personally. That's not going to work. That's not going to work to the point that if I recognize that, I will call it out. Like, I will come to you after a service and be like, hey, so you, Tim, you've been here 6 weeks, right? And it seems like you're on board. You love this church. Yeah. Why are you not participating? Yeah. How can I help get that rolling? Mm-hmm. Oh, my schedule. Cool. So Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday mornings, you're busy. You're always busy. Yep. Okay. Sunday mornings though, you're not. Nope. Okay. You want to meet, you want to start like a group. I'll give you a group. I'll give you five people that are ready to meet on a Sunday morning. Tell me when you're available and I will get you a group. Oh, okay. So you are available Sunday morning so you could serve during the, I don't know if I should be. No. We're about participating. And the reason we're about participating is because this is what God has called us into. Why? Because we're devoted to Him. Yeah. We're devoted to Him and everything He says and everything that He calls us into. For me, it's all about, you've heard me say this 1,000 times, but we want to say yes to what God has next. And in order for us to say yes to what God has next, we have to be devoted. We have to be moving forward. We have to be progressing. So we're involved. And that means that we're showing up more than once a month. That means that we're serving. That means that we're tithing. That means that we're in community with other believers. So I think we're in a really dangerous place.
Yeah,
I really do. And everything in me believes that God, with my assistance and me with God's assistance, that we are building something really special and real and something that echoes that we are devoted to Jesus. I really do believe that. But man, I look around and, like you, it's a really sad thing to see that this devoted concept isn't lived out in everyone's life. And at the same time, those same people are going to stand up and say they're Christian, and the non-Christians aren't going to be able to decipher who's telling them the truth. I'll just make it personal, because I believe personal is powerful. One of the things that I'll share with you is God has been, I want to say, convicting me of something that I've always viewed as very small, but I believe could have such a great impact on the people that I know. So every year I do fantasy football, every year. Okay. And me and 14 guys are in a league and we all put up $100. Okay. And I've always just been like, dude, that's not gambling. That's not gambling or anything. That's not bad. Right. Mm-hmm. I know it's only $100. Well, my wife plays too. So now it's okay. So it's $200, right? It's $200. Okay. But come on, it's just $200. And if you look at
double
that,
your chances to win.
Totally. And you look at, you know, although she never wins, but anyways, we go.
That's how I played it.
Right. So 16, 17, 18 week season, right? So we're $200. It's not that big of a deal. But then, like, I talk to all these guys I'm in leagues with, and I'm like, oh, you're in 6 other leagues?
Yeah.
You're in 8 other leagues? You're in 4 other leagues, and you bet on the weekends on FanDuel and DraftKings? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what separates me from this group of people? I'm giving $200 to fantasy.
Yeah.
Something that's not real, literally not real.
Mm-hmm.
And they're giving what? Because they're giving more money, we're separated. That's a weird way to look at something that, if it was an addiction, you'd call sin.
Right.
That's something that if it's mismanaged, you know. So now I'm like, fantasy football is so much fun, and I feel like God's like, you know what? You have the ability to step out of that and tell everyone why you're stepping out of that. And I wonder what your 14 friends would think. Some of them might be like, you're stupid and you're an idiot. Dude, it's not a big deal. Others might start wrestling with that in their own life. And maybe you would grab some attention of, you know, and maybe, so that's something even personally, something small, like $200 yeah. for fantasy football that yeah. God's even like, I'm confused. I'm confused of why you're doing this. Cause you yeah. get so much joy on Sundays from watching people run around and score fantasy points, like literally fantasy points. It's in the name.
You're in a fantasy. Yeah.
Right. But then you're going to stand up on stage on Sunday. And as gambling is being legalized in the state of North Carolina, you're going to tell your congregation to be careful with that.
But if it's legal, it's fine. If it's legal,
right. So you're dipping, the toe into something that you want to tell your congregation to stay away from.
Right.
And I'm just like, oh man, even that, it's all about devotion. And I think God really wants to know how devoted you are. I think this is part of it.
Along with sports, what's the difference between those who make it to pro versus those that are in college and don't? What is the difference right. between someone who makes it to a CEO level? What's the difference between anybody who is successful in life? There is right. leadership and devotion, whatever word you want to call it, that yeah. they don't back down because they have a goal in mind. And I think the problem yeah. is, as Christians, we don't have a goal. We don't know what we're striving for. We don't know what the result is going to be by doing these things. We think they're just busy work. We think we're just building the church kingdom and not God's kingdom. We think however we want to think about them. We talked about money last episode. We think that the church just wants my money. We don't actually yeah. look at these principles and say, no, these discipleship principles are actually growing you into the person yeah. God's called you to be. I thought of this beautiful analogy between Michelangelo, when he created the sculpture of David, right? The famous, mm-hmm. it was in a yeah. slab of ivory. And this slab of ivory was, he had to chip away all these things to make this beautiful, lifelike David. Mm-hmm. And when they asked him, how did he do it? He's credited with this. And some people don't think he actually said it. Michelangelo said, I took away all the parts that weren't David. So he took away all the parts of this ivory slab that weren't David. And there you go. We have David. And I looked wow. I looked at the picture. I've seen 100 times, and I just looked at all the detail, and I looked at all this intricacy on there. And I just thought, man, how did he do that? He took away all the pieces of ivory that weren't David. And so I almost think that it's not adding to discipleship is almost not even adding all these things onto us. It's stripping away the things that aren't
so good.
Our true identity in Christ. It's stripping away all the things that sometimes we pick up along the way. Sometimes we add to ourselves. Sometimes we grew up with, and it's a generational thing, and it's a learned behavior. And so we hold on to these pieces of ivory that we call anger and lust and all these sins and all these things mm-hmm. in our identity, even trivial mm-hmm. things like fantasy football. And we say, no, this is my identity. This is who I am. Right. But that's a piece of ivory that God wants to chip away to get to your true right. identity of who he's called you to be in Christ. And who he's called you to be in Christ is a disciple that does discipleship things, not because we say so, because it's your heart to, because God has given you a new heart to do those things. And so when you're serving, it's not because you have to do it. It's because no, this is who I am. And my identity is to do those things. And when I see that in my life, I love how you say saying yes to God, because that's my story too, is that I've said yes to all these small things along the way. Yeah. I've just said yes. Now, things that I didn't want to do, small things. I didn't want to run a marriage group at church. I didn't want to do a 5-minute offering message because I hate speaking in front of people. I didn't want to be mm-hmm. on the elder board. And I'm all of a sudden a pastor because yeah. I said yes to God. Never because I had the goal of being a pastor. I just had the goal right. of serving God and doing whatever he put in front of me, because I knew yeah. that he would equip me for that moment.
Yeah. And that's the same with my story. I think that's everyone's story. Everyone that somehow made it somewhere they weren't supposed to yeah. be. It's just that they were trying their best to listen to God and go into what, you know, be obedient and go into what he had next. Yeah. And that's certainly my story, certainly yours. I just want to encourage our listeners, like, that's, I don't want to make it sound easy, because it's certainly not easy. Yeah. But imagine if really all you were devoted to was trying to figure out through prayer and quiet time what God was leading you into next.
Yeah.
And figuring out how to say yes to it. Or would you be so bold? Would you be so bold to already have the answer of yes ready?
Mm. Before he asks the question.
Know what he's yep. asking. Yep. And I think that's really where a church, a body of believers, a Christian, an individual, a family, that's where they can really stand out. Mm-hmm. And that's the goal. Like, not stand out from the standpoint of look at how successful you are. Not stand out from the standpoint of look at all the great things you're doing. Stand out from the standpoint that somebody's going to go, hey, what's up with you?
Yeah.
What, you got this joy about you. You got this settledness about you. You have this peace about you. You have this love that's just oozing out of you. What's up with that? Who is who's doing all this? And Saul, man, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. And we're so busy going, I believe in Jesus. You should believe in Jesus too. It's like, well, I get that you're shouting at me that you believe in Jesus, but I'm looking at your life and I don't see it.
Yeah.
You look the same. And that's what we've done. We've built a bunch of churches that, because we had the excuse of wanting to grow them and looking like culture, we have a bunch of churches that look like culture so much that they are culture.
Yeah.
And so now you can't decipher these churches from the actual church that we see in Acts. And next thing you know, a lot of people are, like, a lot of churches are filled with believers that are never going to go to heaven. A lot of churches are filled with all these people who think they're Christian and they're not.
Yeah.
And that's the scariest and most dangerous thing. That's one of the weights that I have as a pastor. I always try to be so clear. I don't want anyone accepting Jesus and not knowing what they're accepting. I don't want anyone getting baptized and not knowing why they're getting baptized. I don't want anyone walking something out obediently in faith and not understanding what that's going to cost them. Cause I will tell you right now, being devoted will cost you something.
I do the response time a lot for salvations. And one of the things I say a lot is that Jesus said, count the cost before you build a building. You're going to put everything together and make sure you have the labor and the materials and everything before you build that building. That was one of Jesus's examples. And so that was, when you come to Christ, you have to count the cost. Don't just run into it. And I mentioned against the salvation prayer, but I think that's, I know that's an important first step. It's not the only step, because you can also say that prayer and then never do anything for God because he's not changed your heart. And so if you, if he's actually changed your heart and you commit that, then there's steps to do. So we have like a bookmark and a Bible we give people is, no, these are the next steps. You need to be mentored. You need to be involved. You need to be in the men's or women's groups. You have to do these things because this is your Christian race. You don't get into the finish line when you say yes to God. You get the starting line. And the finish line is when he says, well done, good and faithful servant, because you've been faithful with small things, you will be given more. And so when we're faithful with what God has put in front of us, we will be entrusted with more. And a lot of times we want the platform without the process to get there. So I want the big things now, God, but no, what is he giving you now to do? What is the small thing that you can be faithful in? Maybe that's standing at the door and greeting. Maybe it's serving coffee. Because if you see the vision is obedience, the vision is not just building my platform and my kingdom. The vision is obeying God wherever that leads me, even if that leads into awkward places, even that leads into places where I'm uncomfortable. Again, the vision should drive us. And so when you do serve, when you do give of your gifts, you should see that fruit. And that excites me. We just had people in our, we have a men's group that's flourishing, and they go out on Fridays in our community because our church is inside an actual neighborhood. They've been praying for revival, and they're like, if we believe in revival for the city, it has to start in our community. So on Fridays, they go and just walk the community and praying as they're walking, worshiping as they're walking, seeing if they see anybody, and then pray for them. This past Friday, they came across a couple ladies, and they had a prophetic word for one of them that caused them to throw away all their drug paraphernalia in a garbage bag and give it to them to throw away. It was a ton of stuff. I saw the picture because they spent the time to pray for them. They had a prophetic word for them, which unlocked something and caused them to give their life to Christ. And I see that story. And these are people that aren't pastors at the church. They're just guys on fire for God. And they've devoted themselves on Friday nights when they could be doing a ton of other things to actually go walk a community and pray for them. That doesn't make any sense to this world.
Doesn't make any sense.
And say, why would you do that? But you know what? Tonight's Friday. I'm going to go out with them tonight because I want that. And so that gets me on fire as a pastor that has the ministry duties. Like, I want to see life change. That's the vision that I have, is to see God's kingdom come and rest upon where we're at and where we're located. And the churches that And a big part of the de-churching is churches that are dead and dying, that don't have the power of God, that don't have the Holy Spirit moving in acts of love and service and signs and wonders. And so, sure, people are going to leave those churches, but you know what? Why don't you get called into that and say, God's given me a passion for this. Can I start walking the community? Can I start doing these things that don't need a platform? We don't promote it. We don't say, oh, look at what these guys are doing and do a social media site on it. They're doing it for no recognition at all because they're doing it out of that devotion. And I'm telling you, if you get that devotion and that mindset, God will lead you to places that you'll see the fruit of it because God will use hearts that are fully devoted to Him for His purposes and plans and His vision.
I'm in everything you just said. And I love what you said about people wanting the platform without the process.
Yeah.
I wrote it down. That's why after you said that, I was looking down. I was like writing it. That's solid.
Big on social media.
The one I like to say is people want the clout without the character.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing. The process is to build your character. And so for our listeners, I don't know what the step is for you. Like if you are a Christian, you already know, because as you've been listening to this, God's like, hey, you know what they mean. They're talking about the fact that you don't give. They're talking about the fact that you're not a regular attender. They're talking about the fact that you're not in a small group. They're talking about the fact that you don't serve. They're talking about the way you treat your spouse. They're talking about the way that you are parenting your kids. They're talking about that one relationship at work. Mm-hmm. They're talking about that one conversation that you need to have that you haven't had. They're talking about that one person you need to forgive, or they're talking about that one person you need to cut out of your life. I don't know what it is for you, but if you're a Christian, I know that you know now. And I just want to encourage you, show that you're devoted and take that step. I get it. Okay. I get it that there's something in your life that you're wanting to take a step in, but you're like, but what will other people think?
Yeah.
Or you're wanting to take a step in your life, but you're like, what if I can't?
Yeah.
What if God doesn't come through? What if I'm not the person that God says I am, right? Yeah. Like I get all that. I really do, because I've been there and I live it. I live it now.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, this is your sign. Like you've been asking for God to give you a sign. You've been holding up all the excuses. You've been putting up all the walls to say, yeah, I'll know when it's time. One more week of this addiction. Yeah. One more week of this distraction, one more week of this thought, just one more week. It doesn't have a hold on me. Just one more week. And I'm telling you to show you're devoted. And I'm telling you to either step into it and say yes, or let it go and say, either way, say yes to God, say yes to what He's calling you into, say yes to what He has next. And for the non-Christian, oh man, you're missing out. You're just missing out on so much of life, so much that life has to offer.
Yeah.
And Jesus loves you and wants to be in a relationship with you. And He wants, in your relationship, He wants to show you what devotion to Him can do and the joy it can bring, the peace it can bring, the life it can really bring. So Christian or non-Christian, step into this. It really is everything. It really is. Rarely do we have the opportunity on this podcast to talk about something and go, this is it.
This is the answer.
This is everything, but this is it, y'all.
Yeah.
This is absolutely it. And so I pray that you will say yes to it. I pray that you'll take that step. I pray that you'll live a life that's devoted.
Yeah. And if it seems overwhelming because there's all these things that we're asking you to do, just start small. Go back to our habit formation episode. It starts with small steps. And I would say maybe the first step for you is just be consistent in attending church.
Totally.
Like make that a do not miss meeting with God. Make it a do not miss, because how often do excuses come in, or I'm tired, or I'm watching the game, or we're on vacation? And granted, I'm not at 52 Sundays of the year, but make that a do not miss meeting where you are consistent, you value it, and maybe that's the first ramp point for you. Maybe you ask, what are the needs around here? What can I do? Maybe you start giving what you have in your wallet and see how God increases it. I think some of these things seem overwhelming if you're not doing them. And I'm just trying to put myself in that perspective.
Sure. And
I'm just thinking, do something, right? Don't expect to do it all overnight, but just start doing one or two of these things that God...
Do something.
I mean, as Drew said, all those things, there's probably one of those things that stuck out to you. Do that thing.
Absolutely.
Do that one thing and How can we help? We're here for questions.
Yeah, we'll support you. Absolutely. We'll support you. We'll pray for you. You know what? If you do it, would you share it with us? We'll celebrate with you.
Absolutely.
That's my favorite thing to do. I love doing that. I love when someone takes a step of faith and we're able to celebrate with them. That's so awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. I love that. Awesome. Go be a disciple today. Be devoted to Christ as he is devoted to you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And so if this episode blessed you today, if you feel convicted and challenged, would you share it with somebody? Because more than likely someone else needs to hear this. And we hope that will spread, and we hope that we'll continue doing this as others find value in it. And so it's our joy to do it. We love being together doing this. And so thanks for listening. And until next time, go with God, grow in discernment, and keep your eyes on Jesus.
Thanks for joining us on the Eyes on Jesus podcast with Drew and Tim. Don't forget to hit subscribe. If this episode blessed you, please share it with a friend. Check out the show notes for more ways to connect with the hosts of the show.